You're listening to Proven Perspectives, a podcast with John Hawkins, the founder of Leadership Edge Incorporated. I'm Laura, John's daughter, and in each episode, we will explore a topic related to life, leadership, or mentoring. Through nearly 50 years of faith in Christ, John has learned proven life and leadership perspectives that will equip listeners for a lifestyle of leadership in their marriages, families, careers, communities, and churches. Hey, Dad.
Laura, it is great to hear your voice. What's happening at the Hoovers today?
Well, I am in the middle of baking a cake for, guess what?
Oh, yes, I can guess already. Sadie's what? Fifth birthday.
The baby is five. How did this happen, Dad?
I can't believe that. We were out here, you know, when she was born.
Yeah, I do remember, for sure.
I just could not. I can't believe that she's five, but
yep,
she is quite a lively five. I will give her that.
She is. And as Adam always says, God knew we needed Sadie. You know, she's just such a joy. So, yeah. And I guess you'll be eating the cake with us. So Sadie wants chocolate with chocolate.
Well, I'm sure that Sadie has given you guidance on exactly how she wants it to be.
She has. She has a very clear vision. So, anyways.
Well, good.
Yeah. So, Dad, moving into the podcast, can you introduce our topic for today and our guests? We have some special guests.
You bet. I'm so excited about our topic today. It's about a kind of group that we use in Leadership Edge that we really just kind of came upon. I guess God brought us upon. And the Lord has really used it in a lot of people's lives. It's what we call peer development groups. And it is kind of a way that a group of people can come together and in some ways, like learn to mentor each other. And so we're going to be talking about that. And we're going to be talking about it with two dear friends of mine. Just two guys that I am grateful to be able to call as brothers. One is Ben Thomason, who lives in Durham, North Carolina, and works at the Fuqua School of Business. And the other is Taylor Mattingly, and Taylor is a consultant who lives in Houston, Texas. And so, Ben and Taylor, I would like to give each of you just a minute to give a little bit more about who you are, what you do, what your life is. So, Ben, why don't we start with you?
Oh, sounds great. Thank you, John, and thank you so much for inviting me to join the podcast today. It's great to be with you and anyone who's listening. I think this is my first ever podcast, so I'm not only honored, but you know, this is my first time to do this, and I'm excited. So, a little bit about myself. I grew up in Louisiana. I took an adventure for college and exited the state. I went to Texas. To Baylor in undergrad, and that's where I met my lovely wife Jennifer. We've been married for over 20 years now, and we have two children, Addie and Emily Jane. She goes by EJ.
Yep.
We started our life together after Baylor in Houston at Enron, and that was just quite an adventure. And by God's grace, we were able to exit that difficult situation. Mm-hmm. And God provided a window for us to come to North Carolina. I came to business school at Duke and had a wonderful experience here at Fuqua. After that, I worked in investment banking for about 8 years. And then the Lord brought us back here. I enjoyed school so much that I have the honor to be able to work in the business school. So I came back to work at Fuqua, which has just been a wonderful place to be involved in the student experience, to be engaged in the community through companies, and then to be able to volunteer with Leadership Edge. So I'm just really thankful for all those things.
That's great, Ben. Thanks. Hey, Laura, I hadn't even realized we've got two Baylor Bears on today.
I know. I was just about to say, sick 'em Bears. That's awesome.
So after we get through, y'all can do like the fight song or whatever needs to happen.
Right. Yeah. Sounds good.
But Taylor, let's go to you.
Yeah, and thanks for having me, Laura and John. I'm excited to be on the podcast. I think this is my first one as well.
Awesome.
But a tough act to follow with that introduction. I had an opportunity to meet Ben while I was in business school from 2018 to 2020 and saw that business school period as an opportunity for me to invest in my faith, first and foremost, but then also what that meant for my career and some of the things I was focusing on in the classroom and how to advance my career and my calling. While I was in school, I paired up with Todd and John and, did some one-on-one mentoring with Leadership Edge and also got involved with the peer development group that, you know, we'll jump into here shortly, but really valued my time at Fuqua. As John mentioned, I am from Houston, went to undergrad in Nashville, Tennessee, returned to Houston after school to start my career in management consulting. Still in management consulting and, looking forward to seeing how the Lord continues to work through that as I, you know, continue to press on in my career.
That's so good, Taylor. And I hadn't even planned to say this, but one of the things I think about with Taylor is Ben and I, by now, we've worked with a lot of MBA students, and it seems like some of the Christians who come to Fuqua, they come and in some ways their faith just kind of unravels while they're there. And with others, their faith just kind of barely maintains. It just kind of stays as it's been, and it's not really a period of growth. And with a few, there are those who come to Fuqua and their faith really flourishes and thrives. And Taylor is certainly one of those people. That it was so exciting when I would see him at Fuqua and we would get together just to see how alive in Christ he was, even in the rigors of a top 10 MBA program. So, Taylor, that's one of the things I always think about with you, and so grateful, you know, for the work of the Lord in you through those years and really since then.
Yeah. That's really cool. Well, I'm looking forward to talking about this today. And it was interesting because before we started recording, I was kind of asking, so did you guys lead the peer development group together? And basically your answer was the paradigm's a little bit different than that. So I'm excited to kind of hear more from you guys about this. I think the way that we're going to structure it is we're going to talk about why Leadership Edge developed them, how they work, and the observed impact that they've had. So, Dad, why don't you start us off? Can you tell us why you developed these groups?
Yeah, and one thing I want to say, basically before I forget it, is for our listeners, we do have show notes for today's podcast, and it will be the 3 or 4 page handout that basically gives all the format, all the explanation of the peer development groups.
Great.
And so we're going to be talking about different pieces and the why and all that. And for our listeners, if you're interested in this, don't worry about that. You've got to pull the car over and start taking notes. We will make available to you pretty much every factual thing we say about them will be available to you in a PDF that you'll be able to download.
Perfect.
But the reason we started these was I was thinking about, and a young Fuqua student who's also an Army officer, Perry Boulding, we were thinking about what happens to people after the mentoring experience and they move on. So in the case of MBA students who are being mentored by Leadership Edge, that works well while they're there, and then they graduate, and then they leave and go to another city and, you know, hopefully get plugged into a church there and all that. And we were trying to think through what are some skills that they need to develop now so that when they get wherever they're going after the mentoring experience, they'll be able to continue to thrive and grow as Christians. And so we knew kind of the obvious stuff, like, well, they need to have daily quiet times and they need to be involved in a local church and hopefully a small group in a local church. You know, we knew those kinds of things. But we were, you know, since we're a leadership development organization, we were especially trying to think of, but skills. What are some skills that if they were to develop now would help them to keep growing throughout the years of their life and of their faith? And so Perry and I, as we were thinking this through, we came up with 4 skills. And I'll just read these out and just very briefly explain them. But again, for our listeners, this will all be in the show notes that you can download. The first skill was learning to assess their developmental needs as a Christian and a leader. We knew that if they're going to continue to grow, they're going to have to continue to be aware of where are their growth areas. And if they're not in a mentoring relationship, or if they're not in like a really good supervisory relationship with their boss or manager, it's going to be up to them to be thinking through and assessing, where do I need to grow? Where are my developmental areas?
Hmm.
Yeah. So we thought, if we can help them begin to know how to do that and not just say, well, yeah, I need to be a better leader, or I need to get not be angry at my wife as much, or I need to do better work-life balance. You know, not just come up with developmental areas kind of superficially, but really getting down in the weeds with them. Like, what is this problem? Like, how long have I been wrestling with this? What have I tried to grow? How have I tried to grow in it? How did that work? To where they're really kind of thinking through in depth a developmental area. And these can be like, you know, sin areas. These can be like, well, I'm dealing with, you know, covetousness or lust or things like that. But it doesn't have to be a sin area. It's just any kind of developmental area. So the first skill was just learning how to assess that substantively. The second skill was learning how to seek out godly counselors to speak into the developmental need and to clearly and substantively communicate to those people, to these counselors, the nature of my developmental need. So the first one is thinking through what is my developmental need. The second one is learning the skill of going to some people who will give godly advice and explaining to them in detail what is my developmental area. So those were two of the skills. And then the third and fourth one had to do with, if you're the person that someone's coming to with their developmental need, what are some skills you're going to need to develop? And the first one we came up with was listening to the point of understanding the developmental needs of others and asking clarifying questions to get to that understanding. So instead of someone comes to you, hey, could I share this area that I need some help and growth in? Instead of just immediately just blurbing out solutions, you develop the skill of really listening and asking clarifying questions.
Good.
And not directing. And I will tell you, for men, this is really hard because we're all about solving problems, especially if it's someone else's problems, and we just want to jump on top of them. And so the idea of listening and asking clarifying questions, and then the last skill for those who are listening to the person is prayerfully determining what counsel God has given you to give to your friend and giving that to them clearly and graciously. Where after you've listened, after you've prayed, then giving them what God's given you to give to them. And again, because I've only been in these groups with men, I will say that those last two skills are super transferable to men and their marriages, where a lot of times our wives don't want us to fix things. They just want us to listen and to really understand and to ask clarifying questions and then to pray and then to respond. So those are the four skills. And we found that if people put those in practice, it puts them in a position to continue to grow and develop as a Christian and as a leader for the rest of their lives.
Awesome.
Yeah. And Ben and Taylor, anything you would add in terms of those four parts, the four skills that we use that we're trying to help develop through these
groups? When I think about the peer development groups, the core skills that you're looking to tap into are truly applicable to my career in consulting, right? To any coworker, to a client, to anything. Like, this stuff is not I think I've said this before, maybe even you said it, John, is this stuff is not rocket science, right? But the principles are truly biblically based and can really help folks try to understand development areas for other folks, listen, ask clarifying questions, and then providing counsel in that order. And I think that's something that I continue to think about as I move forward in my career and in my faith communities.
That's great.
Yeah, just building on that a little bit. It's been really interesting going through this first for myself, and then observing just in the groups that I've been a part of. There's really like two distinct learning moments that I've had, and so the way I would describe this is on the clarifying questions, that part that John described, where it's just a segment of time where only questions are asked. And my first time through this, John explained that very well to the whole group, and someone had shared, and then immediately what I did is I hopped in without asking a question. Like, I just went straight into the whole advice part, and I realized that I'd violated this principle in the group. So, you know, I've observed that in other groups as well that I've been a part of. I made this mistake myself, but the thing that I would like to just share about that is just the discipline that this has helped to instill in my own life of listening better to understand and asking clarifying questions is just so important. Mm. And the second one, you know, in this last kind of process that John described about biblical counsel and or giving counsel, I remember after a few of us had shared in a group that John was in, and he just really affirmed us in saying, I'm just so blessed to hear the scripture, you know, that is coming out of this. And to me, it just really emphasized, it's not that every comment or every counsel has to be from a scripture reference, but, yes, you know, as we go to the word, there, what better place to go for counsel and for advice? And so leading with that when possible has been just, you know, such a rich experience for me and a blessing to me in these groups.
I'm ready. Yeah, well, and everything that you guys are describing sounds really helpful, because it seems like the first two of those components kind of get at continuing to deal with our own hearts and our own character and being self-revealing in that. And then the third and fourth components, like the soft skills and growing in relating with other people and sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, that all seems like so practical and helpful. So, Ben, I'm curious to hear from you. Can you just tell us a little bit more about the flow of the weekly meetings and like the size of the groups?
Oh, sure. You know, so I've been a part of several of these over the years at Fuqua, and just for a little context, I mean, you could do a peer mentoring group in several different scenarios. For me, I'm on staff here at Fuqua, so I'm an employee at the school, and then the peer group itself consists of students. And really, the way that we've designed this has worked extremely well, is that there's usually like one or two second-year students, and Taylor was one of these, that takes a student leadership role in championing the group.
Okay.
And we all meet together, though, collectively as peers, and it's very collaborative in nature. What I would say is that, you know, and there's usually, I would say that there's been, say, 6 to 10 people in this group, you know, depending on the year. That's in terms of order of magnitude of the size. We've kind of split up our activities into two big components. The first half of our meeting is more of a standard devotional, like where someone would bring some scripture to share and share some devotional thoughts on that. And we made that a rotational component so that each person had a turn to lead the devotion for the group. And then in the second half of our time together, we have, you know, we've gone into these skills that in the process that John described.
Awesome. And so have you found, like, is 10 kind of the max of what the size that you think would work well for this, for people to be able to share? Or is that kind of the target range, 6 to 10?
That's my intuition. Taylor, you've seen a couple of group sizes on this. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think 10 typically works well. I think we actually boxed it in at 10 because of the time. We had someone share their personal development areas every week, and 10 just worked and aligned well with our semester. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to build upon what Ben was talking about, I mean, I truly saw it as an awesome way for us to develop community holistically in a rather secular university environment in the walls of, you know, an academic institution, and truly building brotherhood, accountability, and an area for us to confess and pray in a place that typically doesn't get that. And so I felt like that was one of the more impactful or beautiful parts of our time together.
That sounds great. So can you think of any like specific like impacts, but, and that could be like, you know, something that you saw happen in one meeting or over a period of time, but like, yeah, from that deeper community and that opportunity to go deeper, like how did that impact you or the guys from the group?
I'd be interested to get Ben's perspective here, but from my point of view, I think the guys that joined the group were truly, and aren't we all, right? We're at very different points in our faith journey. And so I think they digested and processed the group a little bit differently across the board. But it was truly, you know, for some folks, it was one of two or three groups that were a, you know, community-centered group, faith group that they were focused on a weekly basis. And for others, it was their only community-centered faith group. And so I think folks, you know, processed what we were discussing, what we were confessing, the level of vulnerability differently. But at its core, it was truly an opportunity for us to share the Lord's work in our lives, His provision over our campus and over the things that He was doing in our community, again, in a relatively secular place. And I think what it really lent itself to as well, like more from a long-term perspective, is that we truly, to truly develop as accountability partners, like we truly have to practice humility, right? We have to be able to say, Lord, I don't know where I'm going in my career. I don't know how to deal with this sin struggle. I don't know how to confess this or that in my faith mm-hmm. walk. But having those folks in the room that lend an ear and listen first, rather than providing counsel, jumping the gun, some of the things we've already talked about, was truly something that was beautiful and life-changing for a lot of these guys.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I would just echo those things that Taylor shared. I think that what has been most impactful for me is creating this space where there's a high level of trust. We set, you know, just confidentiality parameters with everyone. So, you know, seeing that develop, it really does develop over time. And we take a turn, you know, each week, somebody sharing more deeply. And those that are more vulnerable, they really inspire that in other people too. You know, so I've seen that pattern, and it's a real blessing. For me personally, I always, you know, I get so much out of just hearing what other people have to share and supporting them. But then even for myself, you know, like I at this point, I'm usually the oldest person in the room, although I feel very much, I feel very much like I'm just, you know, swimming in the same lane, or at least I can envision myself doing that. You know, but I always learn so much from others. And then having a sounding board, you know, like somebody to really just help you share what's on your heart and on your mind, and, you know, to give you some collective feedback on that is super valuable. And you know, each year that I've done this, there might be something different, but it's been like pretty things that are pretty deep you know, that are on my heart that I'm thinking through and contemplating and need some counsel and wisdom on. So, you know, I find that very valuable.
Yeah. And to kind of tie on to something Ben just said, I think it's an amazing opportunity in life when we have a room of, you know, 6, 8, maybe 10, you know, men or women who for, you know, 45 minutes have focused in and listened to what we see as our developmental need, the challenges we've had in it, who really want to understand it, not just fix it. And then who have prayed about it and prayed as a group about it. And then we'll go around the circle and tell the person what they have to give to them from the Lord. That's just an amazing opportunity that really doesn't take that much to get to, but you have to go after it. And our hope has been that these groups would be reproducible to where then, as say, in a collegiate university setting, as folks graduate and leave and go to, say, for Taylor, go to Houston, they can start leading groups like this, or they can, you know, at least put these skills into practices. And we have had a number of folks who have been in these groups that have sort of gone then to their small group and their church and said, why don't we try this as a small group approach? And have had some great experiences in, you know, for a brief time transitioning their church small group into one of these peer development groups.
Interesting, yeah.
You know, one of my favorite things, and then I'll stop talking, Laura, but one of my favorite stories was one of the first times we did one of these groups, and again, this was an all-guys group, so we've had, you know, women's groups as well. We had it was mainly like some older men, married, kids, and then we had this young undergrad, not married, not even dating. And so that night, one of the married guys was just talking about some real challenges he was having in knowing how to be a godly leader in his family. And so he shared, and then there was a round of clarifying questions, and then we prayed, and then there was opportunity to give godly counsel. And I was sitting there just wondering, what will this young sophomore in college, like, what will his counsel be to this person? Because he's not married, he doesn't have kids. You know, will he just play this off and just say, gosh, who am I to say anything to you about this? But no, he had listened, he had asked questions, he had prayed. And so when it came to him, he said something like, you know, it's obvious I've never been in your situation before, but as I've listened and as I've prayed about it, here's some encouragement I would like to give you.
Wow.
And he gave it, and of all the counsel that guy got that night, I would say that that guy's was one of the most substantive. And it just showed the kind of the truth that as we listen to each other, as we pray, as we reveal honestly our developmental needs, as we pray, ask questions, then God shows up. And even if it's with someone that we're very different from, he can use us to speak into their lives. And that was one of my favorite moments from one of these things.
That's really cool. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it just seems like such an awesome habit to build and something to grow in confidence in of, yeah, just, okay, I know what to do. Someone has just opened their heart up and like asking questions and praying. That's great, Dad. So as we wrap up, how could our listeners learn more about these peer development groups? And would you also give any closing thoughts that you have?
Yeah, well, we will have on the show notes a way for you to access, I think it's a 4-page document that basically tells you what these are and how to do it. If you download that and look it through and want some more, you know, coaching on it, please reach out to us at Leadership Edge. We'll be glad to do that. And also, Ben and Taylor will give me their permission. I'll connect you with Ben or Taylor, and they can coach you through this as well. But that's how you can learn more about it. Leadership Edge, you know, we are about developing leaders, and we do that through different approaches to mentoring. And we have a lot of training and emphasis on one-to-one mentoring, but this is a peer development group. It's kind of a group mentoring where we better become the kind of men and women leaders that God would have us be. All the things we do at Leadership Edge are built around what we call the life vision statement, which is by God's grace to step forward as God's man or woman in my spheres of influence to serve his purposes for his glory. And that's one of the commitments that the people in these peer development groups make to each other, is that they will be doing that together during the time they're in the group. So we hope that the listeners will see Leadership Edge as a resource. Please go to our website, www.lead-edge.com, and you can learn more about all the free resources we have. We are starting in August. If you're listening to this in late July or early August, we're starting our next mentor training cohort in a couple of weeks. It'll be kind of early to mid-August of 2021. So if you're listening to this prior to that, go to our website and sign up for the mentor training. We would love to have you there. So Laura, I'll turn it back over to you.
Great. Well, thanks so much, Ben and Taylor and Dad, for sharing with us today. It's really helpful. And listeners, thanks so much for joining us.
Listeners, if you would like to find out more about John's thoughts on life, leadership, and mentoring, please go to the Leadership Edge website at www.lead-edge.com. Or if you have questions or ideas of topics for future podcasts, please reach out to us at lai@lead-edge.com. We look forward to hearing from you.